So, welcome. What is this? This is our mini episode.
Wow, we're doing minis?
We're going to follow the footsteps of, like, My Favorite Murder and How Does Get Made and do some mini episodes.
Wow, we're so NPR.
Well, I want to give the people something to chew on every week, you know? Plus, you know, we're a new podcast. I like experimenting with the form, you know? I don't always want to just do news and talk about our current obsessions. Sometimes I just want to chat.
You just want to just shoot the breeze?
Yeah. You're Emilio Sparks.
You're Mike Bongiorno.
This is Pop Culture Man Children.
Hi.
PCMC.
With us.
With us.
The dudes.
Yeah.
We got to find like another AKA. Like on Wrestle Rap, people call us the Kings of Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes we get referenced to as them boys.
Yeah.
So we need something cool like that.
Yeah.
The dudes would be kind of cool.
Mm. Something along that line.
But that's too much bro culture, though.
The neck beards. Here we are, the neck beards.
Well.
The red pillars.
I mean, your neck beard's not that
bad. I actually have a face beard. Very different.
Well, how's mine?
Yours looks very good. Very kempt. But also, like, there's an attempt for it to look not kempt.
Yeah.
It's very Jason Momoa.
As you know, he's my spirit animal.
Absolutely. He's your. I see him pinned up on your secret board.
Damn straight.
So
he is my Pinterest interest.
So this is the mini episode. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
We appreciate you, for real. We get a decent amount since we are in our infancy, so the pop culture maniacs out there are not really coming to us in droves yet, but the bits and pieces that I get via Twitter and what we get on the Instagram, we appreciate that, and what we get on Facebook, we appreciate that. So subscribe to the podcast, Pop Culture Man Children. Rate, review, and subscribe.
Absolutely.
Tell us what you like. Even tell us what you dislike.
Yeah.
You know, are we wrong?
Oh, yeah, we're wrong.
Totally. But, you know,
about everything.
Life. We come to you from two locations, Mike's Basement of Cool. And, well, I should say three, because sometimes we'll podcast in my basement.
Yeah.
If my dad is not watching a football game.
Right.
He will kick us out of there and we'll go into my bedroom.
And when we're in the bedroom, the rest of the family's like, what are they doing in there? And we're like, oh, they're doing something indecent. They're recording a podcast.
Yeah. My mom's like, you making your radio show today, boys?
Well, you're 50. You're going to move out at any point?
No. I'm like, Mom, the integrity of the podcast is based on having my Orko figures from the 80s and my Lion-O bank around.
Yeah, I see your Lion-O bank.
Because I looked at your basement of cool.
Yeah.
And you had all this stuff.
I got a lot of stuff.
And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, I don't have stuff. I was like, I need to find...
You got some stuff.
My old stuff. Like, I have my Thunderlips action figure from the Rocky
Thunderlips, baby.
Like, look how good that is.
That's pretty cool.
I have my new Voltrons.
You've got... Yeah, you got Voltrons. You've got a really cool painting of...
The ending of Rocky III.
Yeah, the who punched first painting.
Yeah.
You've got three framed WWF magazines with... Ultimate Warrior on the cover.
And they're all from November. November 88, November 89, and November 90.
Well, he was the King of November. I believe
he
that's
was.
What they called him.
Yeah.
That's not what they called him. So this is a mini episode. So what I want to do on our mini episodes is I want to like get intellectual. So there's a question I've been thinking about lately and I wanted your opinion on. Can a sequel ruin the original? Our culture tends to say no, right? People always go, oh, well, you know, if I make a sequel, it doesn't change one frame or 1 minute of the original film. Or if I write a sequel to a book, it's not going to change one word. And I understand why people say that. But can a sequel ruin the original? I'm going to say yes. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
It can, right? People are wrong when they say that because there are connotations. There are great films where you can't think about them without also thinking about their crappy sequels.
There are three franchises that should have never have been.
They should have just been one shot.
It should have just been one.
Lay them on me.
Rocky 1.
Yes.
Art. First Blood.
Yes.
And Death Wish 1.
Yes. I thought they were all going to be Stallone movies for a second. They're going to go, stop my mom should shoot. Which wasn't a franchise.
Well, luckily that wasn't a franchise. But I think those three in particular could have been one-offs, and we would have been fine with that.
And you and me are both big Rocky fans, so I'm a little bit shocked to hear you say this. Let me ask you this. If the sequels to Rocky had not been made, how would it be different? Would Rocky be more respected as a film in its own right,
yes.
Do you think?
Yes. Big shout out to our buddy Joe Sotolicious. He always would say it, that certain films and certain actors become characters of the character.
Right.
You know, one of his big ones was Robert De Niro.
Right.
Where Robert De Niro stopped being an actor and started being Robert De Niro playing an actor.
Right. Right around what? Analyze That?
Yeah.
Meet the Parents. He just stopped caring. Yeah. So you think that's what Sly did?
Oh, totally. Even Godfather 1, there should have never been 2 and 3.
That I'll agree with. And people refer to that as a trilogy, and
it's not.
Most people don't like 3. I like 3. Most people love 2. They think it's the best sequel ever. I like 2, but I think 1 is far superior to 2.
You know, here's the thing about characters and character development. And when you play a character for so long, you're going to try to want to either change mm-hmm. who the character is. And Pacino did that in Part 3.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, this is not the same Michael Corleone. This is more of a softer Michael Corleone
right.
who was feeling the effects and the guilt of ordering the hit on his brother Fredo.
Right. It's all about the fallout of the Fredo death.
And in the Rocky franchise, you have Stallone essentially
yeah.
becoming a superhero.
Yeah.
To the point where he ends a Cold War.
Right. It goes from the first movie being this very gritty, realistic story of basically a loser. You know,
100%. He's
basically, life kind of passed him by, and he's getting this sort of Cinderella chance, and then he becomes this superhero, and the character changes, but also the whole narrative changes. The whole aesthetic goes from gritty drama to like action movie or something. And, you know, I think it came back around with the last Rocky Balboa. I would keep Rocky 2, because I do like Rocky 2 a lot. Balboa and maybe Creed.
But is 2 better than 1?
As a film, it's not at all better than 1. As a film, it's complete retread of 1. It's just, in terms of the excitement of the boxing, it's a more exciting match to watch. But 1 is a much better film. And honestly, he should lose. I mean, that's the thing. If going with your premise of it just being one shot, then it's a story about this guy who loses. And that makes more dramatic sense.
Well, it's about going the distance and not necessarily winning.
Right.
At that point when boxing was on top of the world.
Right. He doesn't fail, but he loses the match, which makes sense because how could he ever really beat Apollo?
And Apollo was such a way better fighter, and there was a grace and a ballet to Apollo's overall.
Right, he's supposed to be Muhammad Ali.
He's fantastic.
Right.
Carl Weathers. And I think Carl Weathers always stayed true to the character yeah. of Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
Where even in 2, where he was vilified.
Right.
It was still part of number 1.
Right.
Where the sting of saying that I won but I didn't beat him.
Right.
Is one of the major catalysts for that film.
Right. Because it ends very cleverly in part 1 of him saying, I don't want a rematch.
And Stallone and says, don't want one.
The way that they recon that is in 2, they make his character obsessed with feeling like he didn't really win. And that's how they get us to 2. But really, that's not necessary at all. It
no.
really isn't. It
no.
could have just ended really beautifully there. My read of Rocky is it's like a real reckoning of Vietnam. We got our asses kicked in Vietnam. We failed at this. Literally, it's the 70s. I always look at that scene where Paulie's in the bathroom. He's like, I want to kill the bum who broke the mirror.
Yeah.
And I always think of like the idea of like a broken mirror. It's like Rocky is like America looking at itself. Like we've got this idea of who we are, but we kind of lost. For Rocky to go into becoming this superhero, it undoes the whole Vietnam point of part 1. Part 1's about us failing. It's about us dealing with failure.
See, I never looked at it from the construct that it was about Vietnam.
That's just the way that
you interpret it.
I interpret it, yeah.
Yeah,
it's my reading of it.
You know what it was? It was more of a heavier tone.
Absolutely.
Rocky 1, even in,
because he's in a shitty place with shitty people. Paulie is a piece of shit.
Oh, he's terrible. Even the scenes in how they portray Philly, or this is just one section
right,
of Philadelphia.
Right. It's all dirty. There are all these train tracks that go nowhere. There are no trains. It's like this great metaphor for non-mobility. And even Adrian, who later on becomes more of a sort of like sitcom wife, in the first movie she seems very emotionally damaged.
Well, they all are.
Right.
And to me, one of the greatest lines, when Paulie asks, what do you see in my sister? And he goes, I don't know. She fills gaps.
Yeah.
I got gaps. She's got gaps. Right. Together we fill each other's gaps.
Right. Even Rocky in the first movie isn't that likable. You know what I mean? He's likable, but he's not. He's not great guy. He's not Superman.
No, and you know he's not because look what he does for a living. He's a loan shark.
Yeah.
Or he works for a loan shark, so he's a collector.
That's a really great example. The one that immediately comes to my mind is The Matrix. The Matrix is always thought of as a trilogy by the Wachowskis. But The Matrix 1 was a revelation when it came out. I remember seeing it the day it came out. People at the time referred to it as being like almost like when you saw Star Wars for the first time, like, holy crap, I can't believe this. But now, and this is what I mean by the question, now when I even hear the term Matrix, when I hear the title The Matrix, I think about part two and me falling asleep during it. And I think about part three making no fucking sense. And, you know, I bet if there had only been one Matrix film over the years, I probably would have revisited it. But I don't, because I'm not going to watch all three. And maybe I'm just OCD about this. You know, I don't want to just watch one. I, you know, maybe it's the completest in me. If there had not been a 2 and 3, Matrix 1 would be on, like, lists of the 100 best movies. And now it's just sort of a fan thing because 2 and 3 are so bad.
Listen, there are certain examples that it does work. Both the Bill and Ted's. Fantastic.
I think 2 might be better than 1.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, wow. You know, but for the most part, okay, like another one. And I literally just, I was on this McQueen kick.
Sure, yeah.
So I had to watch a whole bunch of McQueen. The Magnificent Seven. They don't need to have 3 additional sequels. Did you ever see them?
I didn't know there were. I know that there were plenty of remakes. I didn't know there were sequels.
There were 3 sequels that were made.
The
Return of the Seven, Guns of the Magnificent Seven, and the Magnificent Seven Ride.
But you know what, though? I'm going to say, because I don't know them, that that is a success story of the sequels not bringing them down. Because you hear about the Magnificent Seven, I've never until just now heard that there even were sequels. People think of Jaws as one of the best movies ever. You never hear anyone talk about Jaws 2 or 3 or 4. It's like they're forgotten in time. But some movies, the sequels are so tied into the original that you can't think about the original without thinking about the sequels.
Well,
Jurassic Park, a great film, never should have had a sequel. And I'm sorry, I know a lot of people like some of the other ones. I've not liked any of the sequels. They've all been bad. All you needed was that first one. And I feel like,
what about the Men in Blacks? I thought the way they ended it with 1 should have been it. There should have never been a 2 and a 3.
2 and 3 are terrible. 2 and 3 are not good at all.
Iron Man 1 legitimately reinvigorated this comic book movie boom.
Yeah.
But we didn't need 2.
No.
And we most certainly didn't need 3.
3's better than 2, but they're both pretty bad.
The funny part is, if we didn't get the X-Men's, we would have never have gotten the First Class and the Age of Apocalypse actors.
Yeah.
Who are pretty much now the story arc that have gotten rid of those original X-Men movies.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to say that I'm not one of these people that goes, sequels are inferior, sequels can't be good. I always think about the movie Scream 2. There's that really corny scene where they're all in the film class with Jamie Kennedy, and they're all arguing the best sequels ever, and sequels can't be better. That's always, to me, been a real lame movie fan kind of, like, fanboy argument. Absolutely, there's tons of sequels that are better than the originals. So, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that a sequel necessarily is inferior. I'm just thinking about series where there should have just been one. And
yeah, but sometimes
sequels,
they beat them to death because
there's plenty of bad sequels.
Cash cows.
Right, there's plenty of bad sequels.
Like Death Wish. Death Wish should have been one movie.
Right, absolutely.
There was no need for 8 of them.
I think the first 2 were like real movies, and then Canon got the license, and it became this canon huge, basically, Charles Bronson versus a city.
Just look at the culture of 1970s in general.
Right, right, right.
It was dirty.
Right, right.
You would walk down 42nd Street, and it's not the 42nd Street that we know now that Disney owns.
Yeah.
It was X-rated movie theaters. You can get weapons on the street. You turn down one corner, you're going to get mugged. I mean, there was a gritty aesthetic in the 70s that was really highlighted in the first one. And then as 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, it lost the man versus the city and was just man versus this one and that one and this, and it just it didn't, it lost its touch with me. Right. And I love Charles Bronson. I think he's right. I think he's one of the most slept on actors in the world.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there are great sequels, but then there's plenty of sequels where it's just like you're just basically you've turned it into a product and you want to keep making your product where there's no narrative reason to continue on. Here's another great example. Die Hard. Die Hard 1 should have been it.
That's it.
He's an average, schlubby, kind of overweight, middle-aged cop who gets caught up in a terrorist attack and he saves the day. But then it happens again and again. So you have to think, is this guy the most unlucky fucking guy in the world? And he becomes less schlubby. By the last one, he's doing kung fu moves. And it's like, weren't you in part one like fat and like out of it and like a drunk? And why 20 years later are you now like you have a six pack? He became a superhero too. And this is what I'm saying. If there were just one Die Hard, we would have much more respect for it. We'd be like, that's a great movie. And we still think it's a great movie, but you can't help but have the connotation in your mind of the sequels.
And two is nowhere near one.
Oh, God, no.
Three's
good.
Three's better than two. But I won't even talk about.
Oh, the last two are just.
I will not talk about those.
Yeah, no, I can't even.
Listen, you give me one where it's that struggle between man and his wife, especially in the 80s. She finds that physical independence, wants to work, excels at her work, beats out her husband who's supposed to be the initial breadwinner. Right. She goes to California, takes the kids with her to better their children's right. lives. He stays in New York, bitter, cantankerous. Right. They try to work it out. He comes to L.A. where it's total fish out of water scenario.
Right, right.
The first 3 seconds in the movie, he's saying, fucking L.A.
Right. People are like eating sushi and he's like, I don't get it.
Fucking L.A.
Right.
Goes to Nakatomi Plaza, types in McLean, not coming up, types in Gennaro. He's pissed off about that. It's that whole, you know, male society where.
Right, right.
You know, so, and then.
But he, I think he ends up, how do I put this? I don't think the film itself, and I haven't seen it in a few years, so I might be wrong, but I don't think the ideology of the film itself is at all sexist. I think that, like, he is, but I don't think the film necessarily sees him as right. It's later on where he becomes our Superman. But in the first film, he's kind of an asshole to his wife, who all she wants to do is... I mean, even when we first see them together, they're arguing. You're kind of like, this guy's an asshole. But he saves the day because he still loves her, and he's a good cop. And it's this fantastic story of you have got yourself in the crosshairs of these terrorists. How many times could that happen in your life? You know what I mean? How many times can lightning strike? That's what's so ridiculous about that series. You know, maybe three kind of makes sense because it's the sibling of the villain from the first one. So it's like he's purposefully targeting him. But two is just ridiculous. Going back to the premise of our discussion here is, can a sequel affect the original? Even though clearly, you know, yes. It can't magically go and change
because it. Because the characters change.
You can change it. You can. Even though it doesn't change it, it does. Because it changes it in the mind of the public. Right now, the trailer for Deadpool 2 has come out. And I'm excited because I love Deadpool. Deadpool I've actually seen like 6 times. It's not my favorite movie, but it's like my comfort movie right now. Like, I could just pick it up and watch it and it just makes me happy. I'm worried that Deadpool 2 is going to be bad. And I'm worried that then I won't feel the same way about Deadpool 1. Because that's kind of what happened with me with Guardians. Guardians of the Galaxy 1, I think, is this amazing, perfect Marvel movie. And now 2 came out and 2's okay.
I think 2 was visually appealing.
I'm not saying 2's bad. 2's good, but the specialness of 1 is gone. I want to ask you, is there any sequels coming out that you almost wish weren't coming out or you're worried about them?
I hope we don't get any more Bourne ultimatums. Or Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, that's another one. That's another one where the first one was amazing, wasn't it?
I don't even want them to start re-envisioning and retooling and rebooting movies just for the sake of doing them.
Well, it's going to happen, my friend.
So I don't want to see that. I don't know if I could deal with a standalone Batman film.
If Affleck's in it and if it's not an origin and it's just Affleck doing something cool, I could be into it.
I don't need another Atomic Blonde. I don't need another Ghost in the Shell.
You don't need Baby Driver 2?
That's probably going to happen.
I hope not.
Like, we don't need these films. Like, you, like, let the, I don't need another Blade Runner. I don't.
You don't need Jigsaw? The 18th Saw movie?
No, I don't. I don't want another re-envisioning of this character with the same voice. I don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, those are the things that aggravate me. Like, just let them be now. And this is the problem, I think, that Hollywood has. I think all originality is gone. I think the originality goes within the graphic design and the special effects. But in terms of storytelling, mm-hmm. arc, and narrative, I think they want to go with old tropes like Star Wars.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right. But the thing that I would say to you is your mentality, which is also my mentality, is that you and I value originality. And that's not even a value to the system because it's Coca-Cola. We've got a formula. People like the formula. Let's keep making bottles of Coca-Cola. Originality is a risk and they're risk averse. What they want is IP, intellectual property that is known to work. And we're going to keep making it until there's diminishing returns. So you're right. You know, there are great technicians and artists working on these movies. But for the most part, originality is not what's happening.
Yeah, but why can't that be, though? At one point, you had...
Because
they, you had art in Hollywood. I'm not saying that most of these movies aren't art.
Because they spend too much money. They spend way too much money to make them. And they have to be... So with that huge gamble, you have to make all that money back and also make it back in China. So you're risk averse. So you're going to keep giving people the thing that's always worked.
I don't need another Fast and Furious movie.
You don't. It sells.
I've never even seen any sequel after the first one.
I never saw any of them.
The first one's good.
I never saw any of them.
The first one's good.
But the first was a ripoff of Point Break.
It is, but it's good.
Right. So it's sequel to a ripoff.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, and again...
But again, it still had its own legs and it had its own individuality.
It's this weird mentality where movies now are either really huge or really, really tiny. There's a movie out right now called Star, or The Star, and it's an animated film and it's the nativity thing. I don't know if you're aware of this, but because of the popularity of Christianity in our country, there are these tiny little Christian movies that come out every week that you don't hear about. And I'm not...
I just watched one.
I have nothing to say.
It was on HBO last night.
What was it?
It was called The Resurrection of Gavin Stone.
Okay, how
was it? The only reason why I watched it was because Shawn Michaels was in it, and I think WWE produced it.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason why I watched it, because I wanted to see Shawn Michaels act.
Well, I have not. I'm not going to say anything about religion. I just...
It wasn't bad,
right.
but there's a different audience that's making, and I get what you're saying, where they're making...
It's tiny movies or giant movies.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground.
Yeah, but like movies like that that actually kind of have some type of footing,
yeah.
If you actually want to sit and watch and forget about the iconography of religion attached to it, you see that, oh, wait a minute, this can actually be a cool story.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's either they're super big,
yeah.
And it's capes and lightsabers,
right.
Or... It's these small little wheelmans of the world
right.
that really don't get a buzz. It's weird, though, because I've been reading about how good Wonder is.
Yeah.
And that movie is little. It's tiny.
Right. And it's based off a book.
Yeah.
But there's sequels to the book. So if a movie makes money, there'll be sequels to the movie.
I'm fine with books doing sequels
right.
and continuations because, like the Star Wars books that you've told us about
yeah.
in past episodes, it is not that bad because you're getting the artist's take on it. And you
right,
said
right,
some
right.
of the best Doctor Who characters
yeah.
and the way they describe the Doctor and develop the Doctor are in some of the books.
Yeah.
So I'm not really mad at that. So I guess we want to hear your opinion, and you could tweet me at Emilio Sparks. You could leave us a comment on our iTunes.
Yeah.
You can search Pop Culture Man Children on the iTunes. Hit us with the subscribe. Give us a little review. You can even get into this diatribe with us via social media on our Instagram page.
Let's end the podcast by saying, thank God there's no Casablanca Part 2, Rick's Revenge. It's time to go bye-bye.
All right, we'll let Adam be the thing.
Go bye-bye.